Well, good morning to everybody, and good morning to those people who are watching online. It's just amazing who is actually watching online, you know, from what country it is. Last week, I was talking to Michael and Linda Livingood. Many of you know them. They're evangelists based in America. They were watching last week. And they said they'd be watching this week too, so welcome to the Live and Goods. In fact, why don't we welcome everybody who's watching online today? Hey, hey! May you be blessed, may you be touched. So as been said, I've been doing a series called The Pathway to the Promises. Last week was the first part, this week is the second and the last part. And so let's read our main text for this seriously, people. Let's be very serious. No laughing this morning, no. Genesis chapter 12, 1 through 3. Genesis chapter 12, 1 through 3. And our main biblical character is Abraham. Now the Lord said to Abraham, "Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make you your name great. And you shall be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. And in all the families of the earth, you shall be blessed." So God promised Abraham four things, and God gives each of us specific promises. Often it's more than one thing. That's why I talk about the promises of God. Last week, I spoke about the pathway and how our promises can take years to be fulfilled, and how our promises many times are gradually fulfilled. So that's important to know. Often your promises are gradually fulfilled, bit by bit. Many of you, you've already stepped into the portion of your promise, but you've just got to step into the fullness of that promise. And then last week we talked about nothing, and Grant sort of stole my thunder there. All my jokes were taken up, Grant. So we talked about nothing. And for 10 minutes, I talked about nothing then. So, but if you really need to be there, and so you just need to check out last week's to find out about that. And then I talked about surrender. So I'm just saying, for some people, how's that going? Last Sunday, you made a surrender of something or a number of things. How's it going? But often there is a pull back and forth. And then we grab onto it, and then we give it back to God, and then one day we realize we've let go of that thing. So it's a process. So if you pick that up again, whatever it is, today, just once again, let it go. Let it go. So let's talk about legacy. Legacy. What do we mean by legacy? To put it simply, it is what we leave people after we die. An obvious example of that is with money and with assets, and that's a very good thing. However, spiritual legacy is the greatest thing we can leave behind, because it's eternal. As I get older, we'll talk about that later, more and more I'm thinking of the eternity, because this life is, Bible says, but a grass is grass. Now, if talking about dying sounds a little bit depressing, let me encourage you with this. The process of legacy begins when we are alive. Let me explain this. There are two ways legacy can happen. First, we impact people after we die. A simple example is you write a book, you die, somebody picks it up, they read it, and they're impacted. And then second, we impact people when we are alive, and that continues after we die. You know, the technology, medical knowledge, and travel we have today is because of legacy. What about space travel? I mean, isn't that amazing? Space travel? But it's a result of the generations. as is cars, as is phones, as is the internet, and let's not forget about AI. But hey, look, if you're worried about some of the negative things about AI, remember, you serve the great IA, I am. Some of you will get that later. Albert Einstein said, many times a day I realize how much of my outer and inner life is built upon the labors of my fellow men, both living and dead. And Ken Blanchard said, none of us are as smart as all of us. Nobody here is as smart as all of us. The power of the collective. As Christians, much of what we have is because of legacy. Every generation in the Bible and history passed on something. We have the baptism of the Holy Spirit because of the Pentecostal movement. We have the gifts of the Spirit because of the charismatic movement. Both those movements reignited biblical truths. Abraham has an incredible legacy. The more I look into Abraham, wow, the incredible legacy that Abraham has. And of course, it's a work of God. Genesis 12, verse 3 said, as we read before, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. In you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Wow. Abraham's life has impacted people for thousands of years. According to the book of Romans, Abraham is the father of us all. So that means he's the father of, I remember your name this time this morning, he's the father of Pete. He's the father of you. He's the father of you, John, over there. He's the father of all of us. What a legacy Abraham has left. You know, in the early 70s, my parents received some promises about the Philippines. And so they packed their bags and they took myself and my two older brothers with them. And we were all under the age of six. And so we went to the Philippines. We left New Zealand, went to the Philippines. I mean, that's a pretty incredible thing in those days to take three kids like that with you. And so we lived in three cities in the Philippines. And my parents were involved in the charismatic move. And they saw many Catholics who were born again and saved. And they planted two churches. And to this day, those two churches are still going. And then, yeah, awesome. And then they trained many people who became pastors and leaders. And if I remember rightly, one of the pastors, at least one of the pastors they were involved in, went on to plant hundreds of churches. And everywhere I go in the Philippines, I hear people saying about how my parents impacted them. My father died in 2016, and he is buried in the Philippines. And he's buried in a city called Calumba. Just a little bit after that, I was in a meeting in the Philippines. And God gave me a picture, and I saw myself standing on the shoulders of my father. In other words, I would start my ministry in the Philippines where he finished. And really, since we've been there, Paul and I have been there for a number of years now, we've seen a number of doors open. But I believe we are just scratching the surface. And you see, what a great legacy my father has left me. And the older I get, the more I appreciate that legacy. And I hope here today you appreciate those who who pass that legacy on to you. Some may say here, well, what about your mother? Well, she's still very much alive, believe me. And she's out in the Philippines, and I'm with her there, and we have some great times. You know, in 1996, our pastor Janet had a vision where God promised us a land and building. And you know, isn't that going to be a great day? When that building over there is built. Can you imagine, Pete, the first day? I hope you're there. I love it when I'm preaching and you're here. Because you're just so full of faith and full of joy. So you got to be there. You better be there. You better be there. And you know, man, what a great Sunday service. We were going to have that first Sunday service. What a celebration, you know. And just the things, the wonderful things that God is going to do in that building. However, we are also aware that what we are building is for the next generation. And what a legacy we're going to leave them. Because you might think it's hard work, etc., etc., but you got to think legacy. You've got to think longevity. You've got to think long term. You know, in those three examples I gave you, the legacies came about because of God's promises. You see, our promises are all about legacy. God has given us promises not just for ourselves, but for the people in our lifetime and the generations to come. God will bless you, and you shall be a blessing. Let me personalize it. Your promises are all about legacy. God has given you promises not just for yourselves, but for the people in your lifetime and the generations to come. People are counting on you to fulfill your promises. I had a prophecy once in Timaru. Wonderful Timaru. And the man said to me, don't blow it. And maybe for some people, that is God's word today to you. Don't blow it. There's a lot of people that are counting on you. Turn to the person next to you and say, there's a lot of people counting on you. You know, I notice when you do that, some people just love to keep on talking. What did you have for breakfast, darling? Next, let's talk about time. Let's talk about time. There's an old song that goes, if I could turn back time, if I could find a way. Hey, it's not my number one gift. I admit that. If I could turn back time. Oh my goodness, you know that song? If I could find a way. There's a lot of people who would like to turn back time. Have you ever said something to someone and thought, if I could just turn back time and say it this way and I might have a better result? There's a lot of people in prison today for life. And they wish, oh, if I could just turn back time. But the fact of the matter is, we cannot turn back time. Settle it. Instead, we must learn from time. Seize the time we have now and look forward to eternity when there is no time. We have to start thinking eternal. Because this life is but a grass, but a dot. But eternity is like, whoo, forever and ever and ever and ever. You know, Abraham's promises took years to be fulfilled. It took 25 years for Abraham to have his first son. And then in the next few decades, he had more children. And the unfolding of his promises has taken thousands of years. And so we learn from the life of Abraham that it takes time for great promises to be fulfilled. It takes time for great promises to be fulfilled. Now, are all promises? Do they all take a long time? No, not at all. If you've got a car that's not working so well and God says, I'm going to get you a new car, you haven't got 25 years, have you? Particularly if that car is on its last legs. And so, no, that's not the case. But the big promises of God, the great promises of God, they take time. Tick, tock, tick, tock. You know, it's one thing to build a house, but it's another thing to build a skyscraper. It takes more planning. It takes more money. It takes more expertise. And it takes more time. Because the big promises of God take time. It can take years to become a doctor or a mechanic or a builder. And yet sometimes we expect our promises to happen overnight. Promises which are far weightier and eternal. As I mentioned before, in 1996, God promised us a building. And here we are, 2024, just getting ready. It's not anybody's fault. It's just big promises take time. Why do we need time? Because time and delay tests our hearts. It humbles us. It refines us. It teaches us. It purges us. It restores us. And it prepares us for that which is to come. You know, I thank God He has taken the time for my promises to be fulfilled. Because if I had them when I wanted them, I would have lacked the wisdom. I would have lacked the humility. I would have lacked the character. I would have lacked the courage. And my dreams would have turned into nightmares. For some here this morning, one day you are going to thank God He took His time. In fact, why don't we right now thank God that He's taking His time? Thank God He's not in a rush. Thank God He's not in your time schedule, because if He was, it would be mucked up. You wouldn't be ready. You got to trust God in His wisdom, in His knowledge, that He knows the perfect time to release you into the promise of God. He knows the perfect time when you're ready for the next stage of the promise of God. Trust Him, He knows. If He's holding you back now, there is a reason. Because something negative could happen. You could end up in a real mess. He's holding you back now at the moment. But the days are going to come very soon for some people here today that He's going to release you. You're going to be like an arrow stretched back full and sprung off into the purposes and the promises of God. Well, I thought that was good preaching, Peter. Everybody be like Peter this morning. Which was full of joy and laughter. Well, you already are. You already are. Whoo. Thank you, Jesus. This next point is for people 50 years and older. So people under 50 and younger. Just have a wee nap. No, you're going to get something out of this too. I'm sure you are. So let's talk about getting older. Let's talk about getting older. Well, some of you have been thinking about it. Come on now. I've been thinking about it as the big 6-0 is in the horizon. It's scary, isn't it? Isn't it scary? But no. What? Where are you heading, man? What's your decade? But you know, even young people worry about getting older. I've got two kids, a son and a daughter, and you know, when they left the teens and they hit 20, oh, I'm getting so old. My daughter is 27, and she's 3 years off 30, and I'm sure she's thinking, oh my God, I'm getting so old. Man, if I could be 30 again. But there's a big but, and know what I know now. And have what I have now. If I could just turn back time. If I could find a way. But I'm sure God's thinking to himself, why would you want to go back in years? When every year you live on this planet, you are closer to an amazing and unimaginable eternity with him. We have to start thinking more eternal. And that means we need to start, yes, it's good to build some treasures on earth too, but we need to start thinking about building treasures in heaven where moth and rust will not destroy it. Hebrews 11 verse 12 says, and it'll be up here, I think, on the screen, therefore from one man and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in the multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. Those words, him as good as dead. I thought, wow, I need to look into that scripture. Anyway, Abraham was 100 years old when Isaac was born. I don't think 100 then was like 100 now. I hope there's not anybody here that's 100 years old, but 100 year old is kind of like this, isn't it? You know, isn't it? No? Okay. 100 year olds I see. But you know, what it was saying is basically he was beyond the years of having children. And then he lived for another 75 years, and he had more children. Then he raised those children to be the foundation for the children of Israel. Abraham's life teaches us that age is not a barrier to the promises of God. That God will give us the strength and health we need to do what he has said. That our senior years can be some of the most fruitful years of our life and a time when our promises are fulfilled. Just in case you didn't get it, because it seems like you didn't, I'll read it again. Abraham's life teaches us that age is not a barrier to the promises of God. That God will give us the strength and health we need to do what he said. That our senior years can be some of the most fruitful of our life and a time when our promises are fulfilled. Everybody that's 50 years and older, give God a shout of praise. Hey! And everybody who is 50 years and younger, give God a praise. Oh, there's quite a few of you here. I didn't realize that. Woohoo! You know, an extensive study in the U.S. found that the most productive age in human life is between 60 and 70. Yeah. I see that hand, sister. We're going to know people's ages now. The second most productive stage of the human being is from 70 and 80 years of age. Okay, all right. The third most productive stage is from 50 to 60 years of age. Whoa-ho! The average age of Nobel Prize winners is 62 years old. The average age of presidents of prominent companies in the world is 63 years. The average age, I hope I'm not making young people feel bad, the average age of the pastors of the 100 largest churches in the U.S. is 71. This tells us, in a way, that it has been determined that the best years of your life are between 60 and 80. Woo! Young people, you got something to look forward to. Woo-hoo! A study published in New England Journal of Medicine found that at this age, 60, you reach the top of your potential, and this encourages you and continues into your 80s. Woo! If it's true in the natural, how much more is it true in the supernatural power of God? There's a lot of examples of these statistics. Smith Wigglesworth had a great healing ministry. He would slap, he would kick people in the part of their body, don't try this at home, where they were sick. And they would get healed. But his great ministry didn't start till he was 48. How many people here like KFC? You know, sometimes it's like, it's nice. Another time it's like, ugh. You know, the worst KFC that I've ever eaten, would you believe? I was in the state of Indiana a couple years ago. Kentucky is the state next to it where KFC is made. And in that state, I had the worst, I'm not lying, the worst KFC I've ever eaten. Sorry, Mr. Michael Livingood. Indiana, don't make good Kentucky Fried Chicken. No, yeah, that's right. But you know, Colonel Sanders, who I understand is a Christian, started his first KFC franchise at the age of 62. And hey, look, we don't have to go very far to find some great examples here in our church. What about Colleen Doyle? She's in India now. She goes to all those countries that end with Stan, Kurdistan, all that kind of thing. Man, I'm too soft for that. Too soft. Her ministry kind of thought is, go to God says no. What a way, great way to live life. My dad's motto, which I've made this up, is don't stop till you drop. Don't stop till you drop. And that's the way he lived. A month before he died, he had a heart attack. He was in the hospital in the Philippines, and he was talking to one of the Filipinos, and he was planning what he was going to do next. What a great way to live. What a great way to go out. If you're going to go out, you've got to go out that way. If you're 50 years and older, you may have more wisdom than ever before. You may have more character than ever before, have more knowledge than ever before, have more money than ever before, hopefully, have more influence than ever before, have more time than ever before, have more experience than ever before, have more anointing than ever before, and never be in a place to fulfill God's promises as ever before. Job chapter 4 verse 12 says, the Lord blessed the latter days of Job's life more than the beginning. The Lord blessed the latter days of Job's life more than the beginning. Ecclesiastes 7 verse 8 says, the end of a thing is better than its beginning. Do you feel like an old thing? Well, the end of an old thing is better. You know, sometimes our thinking can creep into our minds. The best years are behind me. But I want to declare to you today, the best years are ahead of you. Are ahead of you. Yes. I exhort you to reject the lies of Satan, and ageism of our culture. My friends, you may have come into this building this morning, 50 years or older, and walked in like, oh, I've got a sore back. But this morning, you should walk out that door with your head up high, your shoulders back, your chest out, because your best days are ahead of you. And in the name of Jesus, we bind every spirit that is against some people today that is speaking that ageism and that lie against them, which is not God's promises. We break that spirit right now in Jesus' name. We pray the truth of God will be planted in their heart and they would leave this place in joy in Jesus' mighty name. Let's talk about miracles. Let's talk about miracles. Because if we're going to talk about the promises of God, we've got to talk about miracles. Sometimes people think miracles is just about healings, but actually it's broader than that. What was Jesus' first miracle? Turning the water into wine. A miracle is an impossible situation that can only be altered by divine intervention. For Abraham's promises to be fulfilled, it would take miracles. First, Isaac had to be born, and then 8 more sons, and we don't know about how many daughters there were. Because, see, sometimes people say, well, you know, isn't it a great miracle that Isaac was born? But don't forget about there are a lot more other children in his old age that were born. And then when Abraham died, there would need to be many more miracles for the ongoing fulfillment of his promises. Every promise requires miracles to bring it to pass. Every promise. God promised Moses he would deliver him from Egypt, but he needed some miracles. He needed the Red Sea to be parted. He needed to have the signs and wonders in front of Pharaoh. God promised Noah that he would save his family and himself from destructions, but he needed some miracles. He needed to have rain, first of all. That's a good thing for a boat. He needed to build a huge boat. And then he needed to have a whole bunch of animals come onto those boats. Man, he needed some miracle. Even Jesus needed miracles for his promises to be fulfilled, because he died and then he needed to be resurrected. You know, I was saved at the age of 7. Oh-ho, and filled with the Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues. Thanks to my mother who did work with God with that. And then, you know, as I got older, I walked away from the Lord. It is one of the dumbest things I've ever done. And if you're here today and you're thinking of walking away from the Lord, it is a bad decision. And so I walked away from the Lord, and then the years passed and things just went downhill. And I remember I was at a church in Dunedin, New Life Church there. And I decided to come back to God. And I went into the meeting and I said, "If God, I want you to show me somehow that you're real." But nothing happened. And maybe you're here today and you say, "God, show me that you're real. I'm not a Christian, but show me that you're real." Well, it is not always something unusual has to happen. All you have to do is say, "Jesus, I believe in you. Come into my life." And then you will know the reality of God in your life. Anyway, I walked out that door. I don't know what would have happened if I walked out that door and I wasn't stopped by the youth pastor. But the youth pastor stopped me. He was a very gifted man in God, and he sensed I was ready to come back to God, and so we prayed. And then he said this to me. He says, "Mark, I believe you are going to preach to thousands. And I've had other prophecies like that. Houston, there was a problem. Because I struggled to speak sometimes to one person. I was so full of inferiority and rejection. And I remember having little times around the table, two or three, four times, what I would call red face times. In other words, embarrassing times, because just the things I said and all the attention was on me. And I remember over the years that I have gotten up to speak. And after I spoke, it's like, oh, dear God, what was that? A lot of you preachers probably know that feeling. And then other times I'd be getting up to preach, and I was so nervous. And a prayer I often pray before I hit the platform, God help me. And so, you know, I realized that for my promises to be fulfilled, I was going to need a miracle. And over the years, God has set me free from inferiority. He set me free from rejection, and gradually I've been seeing my promises unfolding. You're going to need some miracles for your promises to be fulfilled. Maybe it's a miracle in your finances. Maybe it's a miracle in your health. Maybe it's a miracle in a relationship. But I've got good news for you today. God is the God of miracles, and there's some miracles on the way. Let's stand to our feet this morning. Can I have the worship team, please? There's some miracles on the way. I believe we're going to enter into a season and a decade of miracles. Miracles. Signs and wonders. Thanks, guys. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus, I'm going to tell you about the most amazing gift that you can get. John 3:16 says, stop playing, guys. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. If you ask Jesus into your life today, you will have the greatest gift that you could ever have, eternal life in heaven with Jesus. And while you're living on this world, you'll have a purpose that you've never had before. Is there anybody here today that you want to give your life to Jesus? Just raise your hand. It's the first time you want to give your life to Jesus. Anybody here that wants to give their life to Jesus, raise your hand. Anybody? Today's the time. Today's the time. Maybe you're online, you're watching, you want to do that. You just simply ask him into your life, and he will come into your life. And Father, we pray that your presence will be with them as they do that in the name of Jesus.